about where you can find Test Charge today.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We got a great show planned for you today. Before we get started, I got an announcement to make. I just want to remind everybody that Primordial Performance is blowing out all their pro hormones. They're discontinuing their pro hormones, so you can get this stuff really, really cheap. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is going to go away eventually anyway with the government cracking down on a lot of these agents. So this is a chance for you to stock up. Go to primordialperformance.com today and fill your hope chest with lots of pro hormones. Okay, my guest today is a favorite of the show. He's a friend of the show. He's Dr. Peter Rouse, and we're going to be talking today, amongst other things. First, we're going to be discussing gluconeogenesis. How you doing, Peter?
Well, thanks.
Okay, there you go. Okay, we're trying out some new mic equipment right now, and you sound great. We're going to talk first about gluconeogenesis a little bit. I think we talk a lot about gluconeogenesis, but I don't think many people really understand the process. First of all, for people who don't know what gluconeogenesis is, what is it?
Well, basically, it's the process most people are familiar with amino acids converting to, you know, glucose. And that's primarily what we're looking at with gluconeogenesis, but there are other pathways involved there as well. So when we're looking at gluconeogenesis, it's basically conversion of saturates into glucose. So to provide, you know, the essential glucose necessary for brain function primarily.
So really, the reality is that of all of the macronutrients that we need, carbohydrates really is not essential. It's really optional because the body can make glucose from other things, right?
Yeah, I mean, on a daily basis, you're looking at the body can produce about 250 grams of glucose per day from the process of gluconeogenesis. So 250 grams of protein a day, glucose a day, so is a fair amount and more than enough than the body requires.
Okay, so explain how does gluconeogenesis work? So in other words, if we eat proteins, we eat fats, the body can turn the metabolites of proteins and fats, the ketones, right, from fats and the amino acids from protein, into glucose to support our body. How does this happen?
Well, I don't know how in depth you want to go on the show, but there is several pathways involved there. There's three fields that we can actually look at. You've got the amino acids and glycerol, which is from fats, of course, and then you've got lactate, which is actually from the muscle, produced from it's basically a recycling process of glucose that's used, formed into lactate, and then can actually be recycled back into glucose through the process of gluconeogenesis.
Okay, let's get deeper, because my audience is fairly intelligent and they probably are going to want to understand this better. So mm-hmm. if you're eating proteins, which amino acids have the potential to turn into glucose, or are they, or all of them do?
Well, all except for two. So there's primarily 20 that's involved there, if I recall. Off the top of my head, it's lysine and leucine are the ones that are not able to be converted in the process. Everything else is.
Where are they converted? In the liver?
Well, that's kind of the main area. The second organ, well, an organ, as far as the organ's concerned, it's the liver and also, the kidneys. The kidneys is more its own self preservation, so it actually requires the glucose itself. So a lot of the glucose produced in the kidney doesn't actually get out into the system. So primarily, it's going to be liver function, you know, that's going to be producing it.
Okay. Now, does the body immediately go to gluconeogenesis in the absence of carbohydrates, or do you have to have absence of carbohydrates for a specified period of time in order for the body to go, okay, we've got to start making our own glucose?
Typically, we see it about 12 to 24 hours.
Oh, so it's that quick?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take long. It depends on, you know, the saturated levels of, you know, stored glucose in the body, of course, because the body is going to pull those glucose stores out. So it does depend on that somewhat. But as far as, you know, textbook figures is 12 to 24 hours, but we do see some delay on that. It depends on the health of the individual as well and their biochemistry. If they're very much I mean, will you say carb intolerant and so forth, and have, you know, a lot of the blood sugar regulation issues and stuff like that? That changeover can be a little bit harder because of the fact that the biochemistry in the body isn't functioning the way it should do. So we've got to clean that up first. So it can be, that's why it can take up to a week.
And that was actually one of my questions. I was going to ask you if, like older people like myself, our livers have pretty much been through a lot. Could the lack of responsiveness by the liver to kick into the gluconeogenic phase actually precipitate hypoglycemic episodes in the absence of carbohydrates in the diet?
On the rare occasion, I wouldn't say it would be a very common scenario, but that could happen depending on what the function is going on with the function of the liver. I mean, there's so many problems that occur in the liver that can throw the whole body balance out. So in some individuals that may happen. The same problem in the liver in another individual may cause a different problem. So it's, when you're talking about liver function, it gets very complex too, because it looks at also the liver does so much in the body that different pathways can be affected in different ways. You know, looking at the
Peter,
and,
okay, I'm sorry.
Detoxification.
Peter, what about this? I have a question for you real quick. What about this? There is glycogen in the liver, correct? And that is just simply liberated by the body on demand. That has nothing to do with the gluconeogenic process, correct? That's just stored glycogen, right?
That's correct, yes.
But is the glycogen restored by the gluconeogenic effect, or is that when there's glucose in the bloodstream as a result of carbohydrates that's the only time glycogen is restored?
Okay, so what you're asking is, can be replenished? Can it be the
replenished?
Process?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yes, for liver, yes, it can be to a small extent. So as the body producing glucose through the process of gluconeogenesis, it can store some of the in the process through the liver to a small extent, so that you have a continuous supply, of course.
Okay. Okay. Now, what about hormones? Do hormones play a role in gluconeogenesis? As we age, we know that some of the sex hormones and some of the parent hormones start to deplete. Does that have an effect on gluconeogenesis?
Huge. And it's quite interesting because, you know, how we did the last show on adrenal fatigue. Actually, cortisol is absolutely necessary for the process of gluconeogenesis.
Is gluconeogenesis occurring at night when we're sleeping in that fasted state? And if so, is this the reason that people have difficulty sleeping if their body is not able to produce glucose properly?
Well, it would happen any time your body requires the glucose. Now, the only real major organ that requires glucose on a continuous basis is the brain.
Right.
And as we know, that's fairly important. So the body will produce it 24 hours a day if necessary. That is if they're able to, you know, the biochemistry function correctly. And we do see a lot of people who do have a lot of brain fog when they change it over to, we were talking about before, like a paleo diet or more of a
ketogenic,
higher protein, high fat type diet where they're going on a low carb.
Right.
That changeover period, they get a lot of brain fog and stuff. And that's because the conversion and process can be slowed down, and it takes a little bit of time for it to kind of become more efficient at that, you know, that process.
Do supplements like acetyl L-carnitine or any supplements help to speed the process of the body to kick into that gluconeogenic phase?
I think if it has the basic essentials, it doesn't help to add more in as long as you have the basic. But a lot of people are missing the basic essentials they require for the whole process. So, you know, yes, it can actually help because most people are deficient, but going beyond that, it doesn't actually increase the rate of gluconeogenesis.
Okay. Okay.
So if you're taking like some basic nutrients and stuff like that throughout the day, then that should be enough to sacrifice. And also you're taking a good organic, you know, based diet, then that should be okay.
Is there anything that we do in our day-to-day life today that actually shunts the ability of the body to produce its own glucose from fats and proteins?
There's probably two key hormone regulations that are probably the biggest problem, and that's your leptin and also your insulin function. Those two are the probably key in regulating how everything else works together. So those two can actually disrupt the whole balance there.
So in other words, if you're hyperinsulinemic, would you have a harder time shifting into the glucose production phase?
Yes.
Really?
Yes,
and most people.
Your,
most people
your whole
are probably
metabolic state has been altered,
and most people are probably hyperinsulinemic in this day and age.
Yeah, most people I see coming in, particularly patients coming in with some other chronic condition unrelated, we see that all the time. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
And
this.
Then with the leptin too. That's the leptin is very.
Well, we're going to talk. We're going to talk about leptin when we come back because I know that's an area of special interest for you. Anyway. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick up. We're talking today with Dr. Peter Rouse. Right now, we're talking about gluconeogenesis. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent. Managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from NeedToBuildMuscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-partitioning supplement available without a prescription. Need2Slin. Need2Slin combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need2Slin is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get Need2Slin by visiting NeedToBuildMuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get Need2Slin today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Those of you who like NeedToBuildMuscle.net, use the coupon code AM25, AM25, and get an additional 25% off of everything. And that still includes free shipping inside the United States. It doesn't get much better than that. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.net. At checkout, use AM25 and save an additional 25% off, and you still get free shipping. My guest today is Dr. Peter Rouse. We're still talking about gluconeogenesis. So, Peter, what role does leptin actually play?
Well, what we find with leptin is actually it's a key regulator for all the hormones. So when we disrupt any of the hormones, then that's going to upset the whole process of gluconeogenesis. So it's going to disrupt the whole process altogether. So what we need to do is look at, firstly, looking at whether the individual has normal levels of sensitivity or receptor sensitivity to leptin. The biggest problem we see today is a decreased sensitivity to the hormone leptin.
And so if there's a decreased sensitivity to leptin, does that impair the body's ability to produce glucose or to shift into the phase that produces glucose?
It will actually disrupt every process because of the fact that it will disturb the whole gluconeogenesis, of course, but any other pathway as well because of the fact that all those pathways regulate through hormones. So if you disrupting the hormones, then you're disrupting those pathways.
Now, I know that thyroid hormone, especially T3, helps to modulate the effectiveness of insulin. Can a hypothyroid state also affect gluconeogenesis in any way? Because obviously the body has to upregulate insulin to supercompensate for thyroid hormone's lack of sensitivity building on a cellular level.
Okay, so on several levels there, first off is that I'd say at least 50 and maybe even as much as 80%. Clinically, I've seen it as much as 80%, but that's limited to my own kind of view where I've seen people is with the hyperthyroidism and any kind of disruption of the thyroid, we see it associated with adrenal dysfunction. So it's actually been caused by the adrenal dysfunction, of course, and then we disrupt the cortisol balance there, and that's disrupting the whole process. So in that pathway, it's actually the adrenal dysfunction causing problems with the thyroid problem, and then, of course, because the cortisol is so necessary for the process of gluconeogenesis, then you're going to get the disruption that way. As far as the as far as the thyroid directly affecting the process, I think it's less. But of course, there's going to be disruption because even the thyroid disrupts other regulation of other hormones, but
right.
Not to a greater degree as what some of the other hormones do.
So it sounds to me like the adrenals really play a large role, a supporting role in the process of gluconeogenesis. And we've already discussed how so many people their adrenals are already dysfunctional, kicking in at the wrong times, not kicking in high enough. And so obviously this predisposes someone to periods of time where the body is not producing enough glucose on its own, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's so important to look at the adrenal function first before someone goes on to one of these diets. Even if they fill up a simple questionnaire, I was just thinking about this, maybe we could put up a simple questionnaire on your page that people can actually download and see how, generally how their thyroid, how their adrenals are functioning, because if they go on to a kind of a diet where they're limiting, the carbohydrate intake and going into a higher fat, high protein type diet and their adrenals are come deregulation in the adrenal function, then they're going to have a much harder time. If sometimes they can actually totally crash out, it can place more stress on the adrenal because of the stress on the body, and it can actually be a really bad scenario.
Well, if you get that to me, I'll put it in the blog and I'll have it up there later today so that people can download it. Absolutely,
I'll get it to you.
Okay, what about hydration? Does hydration play any role in gluconeogenesis and the body's ability to produce its own glucose?
How long can you live without water? So
I think there's a lot of people that don't drink enough water to begin with, period.
Yeah. It is very important. It's also looking at the storage process too, with storage of glucose, particularly in the liver, the hydration levels are very important. Also, remember the part of the gluconeogenesis actually is performed in the mitochondria. So, the health of the cell is very important. So the more hydrated the cell, the more healthy the cell. So you must maintain good hydration on a cellular level to improve all biochemical functions in the body, particularly gluconeogenesis.
Do any fats lend themselves to being closer to the process of being converted to glucose than other fats, or all fats just end up being able to be used for the process of gluconeogenesis?
Well, fat in humans don't directly go into the process of gluconeogenesis, not directly. Okay, primarily, generally, fats go into the process of ketosis, which is a further process. But from fats, you can actually obtain glycol, which, of course, can be then thrown into the process of gluconeogenesis. So,
I'm sorry, you dropped out there for a second, Peter. That's wireless for you. Okay, so you said fats can go into the process through what? You said glycine? No.
No, glycol.
Glycol, okay.
So through that process, fat directly goes directly through the ketogenic pathway in humans. There are some animals that can actually do it.
But I mean, does fat have to be broken down from saturated to monosaturated to and so on and so forth before it can be available for the process, or can any fat be rendered by the body so that it can be ready to supply the process of gluconeogenesis?
That is dependent on saturation with carbon bond and anything like that. So that needs to be broken down more. That's why we find that medium-chain triglycerides, that's why we recommend coconut oil. That's better for that process because it's actually readily available as an energy-rich energy source.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's why MCT oil, I think, I can't remember, John Perillo or whatever his name was, made it very popular in the 80s, I think, with bodybuilding, taking MCT oils and stuff like that. But that was a very refined type of oil, so it probably wasn't ideal. Best way to get it nowadays is just from coconut oil, much cheaper, and also you get a lot of other good additional features with coconut oil. So that's a really good way of increasing that process. Other fats does need to be broken down, and that's broken down, of course, in the whole digestive process anyway. So, you know, naturally, you know, it's broken down by bile in the intestinal tract. So, you know, that is naturally broken down very quickly.
Let's segue into answering a couple questions for listeners, because that's the next thing we're going to do. Kevin mm-hmm. Johnson posted something on my board today, which was quite appropriate, especially since we're talking about the importance of the adrenals and their role in gluconeogenesis. And he was asking if taking an adrenal extract, you know, one of these desiccated adrenal products, if there's any potential side effects. You saw the question, right?
Yes, I saw that one. Absolutely no side effects that we have ever seen with any kind of dosage. We can go extremely high dosages. I've taken as much as, I think I've been up to about 20 capsules a day.
At about 300 milligrams a cap, is that correct?
These ones I was using were actually 500.
Okay.
So I was using a very, very high dosage, you know, 10 grams a day, and there's no real effects. You are not going to get any side effects. What it's going to do is help with cellular regeneration of the adrenals. It's going to help support the adrenals and so forth. So it's only positive. There are no negative.
Is there a recommended amount of desiccated adrenal gland that should be taken in order to spark the process of replacement of cells for the adrenals?
We found over a gram. It depends on the individual and how degenerated the adrenals are. You know, if they've been in a very bad state for a long time, then we may take up to 5 to 10 grams. But usually find anything above a gram on the average person who's just finding that the adrenals are a little bit worn out, then that's usually a pretty good dosage. There's only like 3 of a standard capsule. That's about 3 or 4 capsules a day.
Is it wise to take the adrenal hormone, the desiccated adrenal on an empty stomach in the morning, in the evening? Does it matter?
Yes and no. Taking it with food can actually kind of disrupt and shift a little bit. So actually it's kind of is better to take it on an empty stomach, but the difference is very small. I'd say probably a 10 to 15% difference. And most people, I find in my case, is trying to get people to remember to take any kind of supplement between meals is very difficult. So if it's going to help you remember to take it with a meal.
Does it matter if you take it in the daytime or the morning or the evening? Is it something that potentially could kick the adrenals into gear late at night and you don't want to do that?
No, it doesn't have an effect on kicking the adrenals in, and I would actually spread it out throughout the whole entire day anyway, so I would want to kind of keep supporting the adrenals throughout the entire day. So I split it up. I take 2 capsules in the morning, and probably 2, you know, mid-afternoon and 2 later in the day too, so I take 6 as a standard.
Do you think there's any residual adrenal hormones left in that desiccated adrenal gland?
No. They've tested it. It's been, they have the lab test it, of course, for FDA approval and, you know, all the whole process. So there actually is not really anything, maybe some trace amount that's untestable. You know, the amount is so small. We're talking picograms and so forth. So yeah, it's a very small amount of anything that wouldn't make any difference.
We have about 3 minutes before we go into the break. We had some other questions that you have in your possession, correct? From some listeners?
I got a few on hormone replacement therapy and
okay.
stuff like that.
Can we start it? Well, let's just start addressing those. What question do you have that you want to hit first that we can maybe pick up when we come out of the break if we have to?
Okay. One was regarding, you know, going on to HRT. Are there any kind of side effects? And we would have, this is probably a bit of a long answer on this one. I think looking at HRT or hormone replacement therapy, we want to look at what's causing disruption in the endocrine system. No matter what age it is, there is always some kind of underlying problem. So instead of looking at taking a hormone, it's just addressing the symptom. We've got to address what's underlying there. Even if it's, fix that underlying problem, it's still low, then we can add on top of that. But we want to fix the underlying problem because that will just get worse and worse. And then you're going to up your dosage more and more. So first off, we want to correct the underlying problem that may be causing disruption in the hormonal function of the body. This could be anything from, you know, gastrointestinal problems, adrenal fatigue and stuff we talked about in the last show, autoimmune system responses. So there's a lot of different underlying causes that could be causing this. So we need to address those first before we look at adding any kind of additional hormones on top of that to basically all you're doing there is you're treating the symptom, which is the low low hormonal production.
But in a lot of cases with older guys like myself, getting us back into youthful levels, even using things like HCG and clomiphene or, you know, other compounds, parent hormones like pregnenolone, it doesn't always get us back to where we need to be, right? So then you have to, if that's the case, you have to turn to frank replacement, right?
Oh, definitely say, but fix the underlying problem first and then throw the hormones on top of that, because you're going to put the hormones on top of a healthy, stable system rather than a system that's deregulated to start with. When I get someone coming in and we look at, you know, the hormones and we see a very low testosterone, I'm going to investigate what's causing the testosterone to be low. And everybody, there is some kind of underlying cause. We probably, in older people, we will never bring it up to the levels we want to, but we're going to, when we do add the hormones in, it's in a healthy endocrine functioning system.
How do you feel about HCG in combination with testosterone replacement for men? Do you think it works? It doesn't work? It's inconsequential?
That is actually, I've seen both ways, okay, and this is coming through from lab results too. So in some individuals, we've seen that taking it with testosterone, it does help, and then in others, it actually has zero effect at all. So I think it depends on the underlying blood work going on there, what's happening with the body, and that comes back to, I think in this case, it comes back to the underlying cause. So if the underlying cause is related to that, then I think it can have a positive effect. If it's unrelated, then that's where we're probably not seeing any effect from it.
So, like, for instance, if the problem is in the Leydig cells and not the pituitary, then HCG probably will have no effect at all, because if the Leydig cells aren't working, they're not going to work whether it's luteinizing hormone or HCG.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on which pathway has been disrupted and how it's been disrupted. It's going to depend on whether it's going to happen or not. And that's why I think we see such conflicting results with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up. I want to talk a little bit more about HCG. I want to talk about steroidogenesis in the testes and if men are really more complicated than a lot of doctors pay attention to. We're talking today with Dr. Peter Rouse. You can learn more about Peter by going to his website, and that is AF, like Apple Foxtrot, AF Performance Center, singular.com. Check it out. We'll be right back.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from NeedToBuildMuscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-partitioning supplement available without a prescription. Need2Slin. Need2Slin combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need2Slin is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get Need2Slin by visiting NeedToBuildMuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get Need2Slin today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Dr. Peter Rouse. Right now we're talking about steroidogenesis in the testes. Peter, you know, doctors treat men with testosterone, and they really give little thought to other hormones that are produced in the testes. But the testes are responsible for producing a variety of hormones besides testosterone, right?
Yeah. And then once you're taking the actual hormone replacement, of course, that disrupts the whole balance there. So
exactly.
You disrupt the whole balance. And that comes back to, you know, also the adrenal function, because that's your backup system there too. So, you know, the production, you know, if you're having any kind of the adrenal has been overloaded even further because of that.
You dropped out there for a second. I think that's the wireless. But anyway, what you said was, if you are having some sort of difficulty producing testosterone, the workload to the adrenals becomes greater because it has to make up the difference and tries to make up the difference for as long as it can until they crash.
Yeah, exactly. And then they do, I mean, they're already compromised to a degree, but usually when people see a doctor, you know, what we're seeing is 90% of people we're coming into the clinic have compromised adrenal function. So adding the extra stress to them, you're actually causing more problems down the line. That's why I was saying before, you know, before you go on to HRT, and I'm not saying don't, because I'm actually very much for that. I say, you know, let's look at the underlying back, you know, the whole system underlying that. Let's get that up to scratch first,
right,
so that when we add this in, that everything else is going to go in imbalance.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just going to cover up any potential to find out what's really going on. So I understand entirely. Now let's talk about something else. Fatback Goal, which is his screen name on RX Muscle, asked the question, you know, how do you approach your doctor about HRT? Did you see that? I think I sent that to you, right? Did you see that one?
Yeah. See, that's the sense. You're going to have to find a good doctor. It comes down to that. Some doctors, because of all the negative press and the regulations at the moment, and you know, we've had cases where doctors have been charged for prescribing too much testosterone, that they're very hesitant to do so. So that is one problem right there. And I'm actually having a few patients who have gone through that avenue and had that problem. So the test levels are below their so-called norm, yet they still won't prescribe testosterone because they're too scared to. So there is some kind of little bit of hunting around to find a good doctor that will do that. You are going to have to get a lab test done and back that up with, you know, the lab test, so the doctor has at least some evidence to show that, you know, this has actually been prescribed legitimately, and a continuous monitoring of that as well through the doctor, so that they can, you know, demonstrate the improvements and so forth. So I think if they got the lab work and the paperwork in check, everything's going to be a lot better.
What about when your doctor says no? I mean, I've heard this so many times. People have emailed me and said, I went to my doctor. He took my blood work. My blood work ended up being 400. Hypogonadism was 380. He said, no, you're in range. You're fine for your age. What do you do to a doctor like that? Do you challenge him, or do you just go find another doctor?
Usually, I'd find another doctor. If they are so close, well, you could start a conversation on the matter and talk about the side effects and, you know, the symptoms that you're suffering from. But if they're really closed off, then it's easier just to find another doctor.
Because some doctors will stand on the fact that if you're in range, which is BS, as we know, that there's nothing to worry about, that you're fine if you're in range. Oh, for your age, age-adjusted, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly, age-adjusted. Also, that range actually can change, alter from state to state as well. Some states have different readings for these readings. So you go to one state, you may be classified, low testosterone. We go to another state, it could be regarded as normal.
Do you think, coming back to the HCG question, do you think that HCG, while it may not precipitate an increase in the testes' ability to produce testosterone, will cause the other pathways of steroidogenesis, like pregnenolone and progesterone and so on, to occur in the testes like they're supposed to? Or do you think that HCG only affects testosterone production?
Primarily testosterone. It will have some residual carryovers to a small extent, but that's where, I think you've talked about this on previous shows, taking pregnenolone and also DHEA as well as supplemental when you are doing an HRT protocol, because it all works together and hand in hand. So I think it's very important that you do take these additional supplemental hormones to back that up.
Yeah. I'm big on pregnenolone and DHEA for that reason, because And prior to taking pregnenolone, I felt, I had a weird feeling after the first year and a half of being on HRT. I started to have like almost a burnt out feeling. And then I started, it took about 3 months for the pregnenolone to take effect. But I noticed that, a lot of things changed, including the way I felt.
Well, that comes back down to also what's going on with your adrenal function too. If you address that, you get the pregnenolone steal occurring because of the adrenal dysfunction, and then that's stealing it from the steroid pathway. So it takes a while for that to come back. So by supplementing with the pregnenolone, then you actually help bring that back up to more normal levels. Because the adrenal dysfunction deregulation that you have at the moment, or did have more severely, of course, probably at that time, it was stealing all the pregnenolone from the steroid pathway, and that was disrupting that whole steroid pathway, even though you were taking hormone replacement therapy in the form of testosterone.
Yeah, absolutely. What about people who use superphysiological doses of testosterone? Should you also increase the pregnenolone and DHEA so that the ratios stay the same?
There is a dose dependent on the pregnenolone and DHEA. So if you're taking, say for example, taking a gram to maybe 1,200 milligrams of testosterone per week, you won't get an additional effect taken above, this is assuming a male, of course. I mean, a female taking 1,200 would be ridiculous, but
right.
So a male taking approximately 1,200 milligrams per week, they could look at taking in, say, 30 milligrams, in a capsule form, say 30 milligrams of pregnenolone maybe three times a day, and that would be probably a good dosage for them, maintain that, and maybe 100 milligrams of DHEA. They can play with the dosage a little bit up and down. I won't go above 150 on either.
Okay. Now, what if you're using the drops that are quickly absorbed on the tongue, actually. If you're using that, the dosage of that is two drops a day. So you'd probably up it to like five or six of DHEA and maybe eight or nine of pregnenolone?
You'd take it up and I'll spread it throughout the day, of course. The DHEA and pregnenolone maybe take it together at the same time, three times a day. Taking two or three drops of each three times a day would be probably get up towards a realistic dosage that you want.
Now, pregnenolone's immediate pathway is to cortisol, correct?
It can go either way. So pregnenolone, it can be stolen and produce cortisol through the adrenals, deregulation. So if you've got stressed adrenals, then the adrenals will steer the pregnenolone to produce more adrenal.
Which leads me to this next question. If I am already adrenally compromised, which you and I have discussed that I am, and we're working on a protocol to help me, mm-hmm. So is it unwise to take pregnenolone late at night?
No, it won't disrupt the function of the adrenals. I mean, the adrenals are going to pump out. That's set by regulation. So if you're supplying your hormones throughout the day with the pregnenolone, then it isn't going to create more cortisol production because you're taking it.
And plus I'm using now – I'm stacking 200 milligrams of phosphatidylserine with one erase – pill at night before bed, and I take it about an hour before bed, and I can't even keep my eyes open because both the phosphatidylserine and the erase lower cortisol levels dramatically. And I actually fell asleep sitting up the first time I did this. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, usually the phosphatidylserine, I usually take 300, but you're taking it with the erase too, which we know has some residual effect there. So you're probably taking about the right dosage in there. I would actually be interesting to actually get someone to run some labs on that to look at how much the effect of the arrays by itself is. So we can actually regulate for that for people who are taking that, so we know how much we can balance that out with it.
Well, I'll be glad to be a guinea pig when I come back from the Olympia for sure, if you want me to.
Okay.
I'll be glad to do
yeah.
that. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're actually going to have a listener who took advantage of when we gave away the free tickets to the scientific fat loss seminar that Dr. Rouse held at AF Performance Center in Santa Monica. Many people took advantage of it. And this particular gentleman who comes to Arizona, and he and I have been training together. Maybe we'll even talk about that. We'll have some laughs. He attended, and I want to have him on because I want to talk a little bit about the seminar for those people who missed it. Isn't there a DVD for that seminar?
I did record it, but what we're actually going to look at doing is doing another one, maybe a two-day event. So we're actually going to do a big event and have that DVD available because we only really covered the very basics and really just scratched the surface on that stuff. So we're going to do a two-day in-depth seminar, and maybe we can do another giveaway for some of your listeners as well.
Sure, and actually people can go to your website. You have quite a wide variety of DVDs that you have there, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, check it out. Go to AF, Apple Foxtrot, AFPerformanceCenter.com. Stay tuned. We're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse. We're going to have Carlos Cardenas on next. He and I deadlifted this weekend. It's going to be a funny story. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Introducing SNI Global. SNI Global carries everything both the weekend warrior and serious athlete needs. Whether you're looking for pre-workout, post-workout, whey protein, mass builders, anabolic agents, performance enhancers, or energy boosters, you'll find it all at SNIGlobal.com. Want to train like a machine? Then get to SNI Global today. Check out their performance pack, loaded with over 10,000 grams of potent ingredients designed to increase energy, strength, muscle growth, and recovery. Go to SNIGlobal.com today. SNI Global. Train like a machine. PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to pjbraun.com today. That's pjbraun.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by bestrecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Sciences want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got a listener, a fan of the show, also He and I have trained together a few times now. Carlos Cardenas. How you doing, Carlos?
Pretty good, Carl. How about yourself?
Great, great. Whenever Carlos comes into the Phoenix area, he texts me and says, let's train, man. And he beats me up, Peter. He beats me up when we're in the gym together.
Yeah, I heard he kind of kicked your butt.
Yeah, he has. And you know what it is? He says that that you do that to him when he goes to your place.
I think he's too scared to come back.
Oh man, is that right?
Hey, Carlos, yeah, we're going to have to do a workout together soon, okay?
You know what? It's true. It's been a while since I've been there, but I'm going to try and make it on Thursday. That's the plan right now.
There you go. There you go. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this. Carlos, you attended the scientific weight loss seminar, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so what did you think of it?
I thought it was a phenomenal seminar. I mean, Peter really opened my eyes essentially to stuff that, number one, I had forgotten, and number two, like the truth about how your body really does react to certain nutrients and to perform better, essentially.
Well, and it should also be mentioned that you've made a career out of being a personal trainer too, and you're very high level in the personal training food chain. So, as a personal trainer, did you feel that you were investing in your career by attending the seminar?
Oh my God, it's almost it's priceless. Honestly, what I've learned from there, because a lot of the things that Peter was showing us, or Dr. Rouse was showing us, I actually started implementing with my clients, and even with the little changes that I've made, it's actually made a dramatic increase in, number one, how I train them and their results, and also how they're reacting to it. That's the most important part to me, is their smile on their face. Although they're getting beat up every single time that I work out with them, they're just loving every second of it now. And it seems like they're enjoying it more.
Now, you are not just, I mean, you actually have met with Dr. Rouse before for your own personal circumstances, right?
Yes, that's correct. I met with Dr. Rouse because I was having, stomach issues. That's the simplest way of saying it. I met with Dr. Rouse, and he just said that I was screwing up my body by having certain nutrients. Essentially, for me, it was carbohydrates. So what we did was, obviously, he can explain it better than I can, but we essentially changed my diet completely, where I used to be on a higher-carb diet. Now I'm completely off of carbs, more of, I guess, of a paleolithic style of dieting or nutrition plan, and I feel phenomenal. I mean, after day number two, I had already noticed that my stomach had gone down because I wasn't so bloated all the time.
And now, you know, there's a lot of people that are, whenever we talk, Peter, whenever we talk about carbohydrates, you know, it becomes a firestorm out there because there's the pro-carb people and the anti-carb people. But how can you argue with that? How can you argue with a guy who didn't have an opinion on carbs or not, and you take carbs out of his diet? And not only did Carlos tell me that he felt better after the second day, but his energy levels have gone through the roof as a result of change. Right? Didn't you say that you're not sluggish anymore?
Not at all. I don't feel like I really need to take naps during the day, essentially.
And you used to. You used to feel that way.
I used to always want to take naps, and now it's not necessary. I mean, I do like to take naps here and there, but I don't need extra rest. I felt like the carbohydrates were essentially slowing me down.
How long did it take for you to become accustomed to not having carbs in your diet?
Honestly, within the first day, I felt great.
So he was an easy adapter, I guess, right, Peter?
Well, I mean, partly also we actually did add some supplementation there. And when we add the supplementation, that kind of changes the whole process. So if someone is going on to, say, for the paleo or high protein, lower fat, lower carb diet, then certain protocols using supplements can actually help that process phenomenally. And part of it was actually just his digestive system was so messed up that we just supported his digestive process, and that just helped him so much.
Now, do you think this has a lot to do with polymorphisms in his genetics, or do you think it has more to do with the fact that as a species, we were never designed to eat these types of carbohydrates?
I think you already know my answer on that one, but it's definitely, you know, as a species, we're not really designed to eat large amounts for starters. And also, I mean, primarily where most people get their carbohydrates from, processed carbs, predominantly from grains. I'm not against eating vegetables, and I recommend people eat a lot of variety of vegetables. So I'm not dead against, you know, taking in, you know, plant matter at all, but particularly grain-forming types of carbohydrates, we got to get rid of that out of the diet. And you're going to see it. If you do that, you're going to see it improve in health. And I challenge anybody, just try it for a couple of weeks and see the improvement.
You know, the life extension industry is about to blow the roof off of the impact of diet on longevity that we're going to be talking about with, to the scientists as soon as they publish their works within the next couple months. But the new term now is the hunter-gatherer diet. The hunter-gatherer diet speaks to the Paleolithic style of eating back in the day before we processed anything. And when I mean processed, we couldn't eat grains, we couldn't eat beans, we couldn't eat rice, we couldn't eat anything that needed special attention to being heated or ground or anything. And but all we could eat was the greens that we could forage and chew right there and then, and animal protein and fat, and that was it. And they're calling it the hunter-gatherer diet. And make no mistake, in the next few months, a watershed study is going to be produced that's going to show that that style of eating can cause your body to live for as long as you want to live. Your parts won't wear out. You won't develop disease. So anyway, I mean, that's all I'm going to say about that. Now let's talk about something else. So Carlos, you trained with me the last couple times that you were in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, it's been awesome.
And so Carlos beats me up, man. He won't let me stop when I feel I can't do another rep. He's like, no, come on, you got to do more. And I've never trained with anybody before. I've always trained by myself. But it's really fun training with Carlos. We deadlifted the other day, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Carl, you're freaking strong, man. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 52 or 22. You're freaking strong.
You know what's really funny? I had deadlifted the week before when I was traveling, and then I deadlifted again, and Carlos goes to me, no, you shouldn't deadlift 2 weeks in a row. Take a week off, and that's what I'm doing this time around. But I deadlifted with Carlos the other day, and at the top of the movement, I dropped the weight on the floor, and I yelled out, 52, man! And Carlos looked at me and goes, dude. It was funny, man. Everybody in the gym looked at me. I know I look like a fool. But anyway. So, okay, so in summary, let's get back on track here. Do you feel that what Dr. Rouse did for you not only changed the way you eat for yourself, but the way you teach your clients now?
Oh, definitely. I look forward to going into more of Dr. Rouse's seminars. That way I can actually do this as an application that I know versus something that I kind of tinkering with right now. I want to be a little bit more knowledgeable before I actually really start pushing this on my clients, saying, hey, you know what? This is exactly how to do it. Obviously, like I said, Dr. Rouse is the one that knows. He's probably the smartest person I've met when it comes to how the body works exactly.
Right.
Seriously, like I said before, it is priceless what he has done for me and what he can teach others.
Now, real quick, I want to plug something else. Your family has a wonderful fruit business in California, correct?
Yes, we are located in Fillmore, California.
And you also sell online for people who want. You grow your own avocados, you grow your own fruit. You have fantastic. You've sent me bee pollen, that the best tasting bee pollen I've ever had. Most bee pollen just tastes really sweet, but the bee pollen that you sent me has a very earthy taste to it. That just tells me that there's something better about it. I don't. Maybe the bees that are in that area that are making the bee pollen are healthy or something. But plug your family's website, please.
It's actually www.franciscosfruits.com. It's Francisco's Fruits with an S. I mean, we could ship anywhere in the United States very easily.
Fantastic stuff.
If you email us directly, tell them that you heard it on Superhuman Radio, and then I'll make sure that the listeners get a 10% discount.
Well, that's very generous of you. Thank you. And we didn't talk about this ahead of time, so that's very generous of you. Anyway, listen, Carlos, I appreciate you coming on the air and paying a tribute to Dr. Rouse's facility and his talents. And hopefully you're going to be back in Phoenix in a couple weeks. We're going to get to train together again, right?
Yes, I should be there in about a month or so. So I'll be there, and then I'm actually going to I'll be sending you I'll be sending you avocados and the Gold Gym travel passes, as I promised.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you very much, Carlos. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Russell. Hopefully I'll see you on Thursday.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you again on Thursday.
Okay. I will see you later, Carlos.
Bye-bye.
Great guy, Carlos. He pushes me very hard in the gym. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to training with anybody else. I've always trained by myself for a decade. I've never trained with anybody else.
Well, when you get to LA, maybe all three of us should get together and do
I'm not training with you. He's already told me what you do to people. You think I'm crazy? You know what? Yeah. Forget about it. He's already told me what you've done to him. I was like, no. He goes, you should go and train with Peter. I don't think so.
We'll see. We'll get you in there.
I don't want to do any of those Tabatas. What is it called? Tabata? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, the metabolic training, I mean, Tabata is more specific, but the metabolic training is kind of generalized at the end of the workout stuff that we were doing. Yeah, it cripples people.
He was stretching. You know what he did for me? Carlos, I told him about my sciatic nerve issue and I told him how it's my hamstring that's actually making me drop my foot because I can't extend my leg completely, it feels like. And I've been working on that. So he's, you know, he's very talented. He's a very talented personal trainer, a very, very high level personal trainer. So he said, let me help you stretch. And I don't stretch at all, Peter. And maybe that's a mistake, but he had me stretch after my workout and I'll be darned if my leg didn't feel 1,000% better.
I stretch before and after the workout. I mean, the old myth of static stretching before a workout, it's crap. I mean, you've got to stretch whatever's short and tight and before a workout, or else it's going to inhibit other muscles, the antagonist muscles. So you definitely want to get into that.
What do you think about yoga?
I'm going to get some hate mail on this one. I hate it.
Do you really?
It's like a shotgun approach to stretching in some ways. You know, it's... I get a lot of people coming in with problems from yoga because it's primarily posterior chain lengthening and they get very short and tight in the anterior chain, like the hip flexors and stuff, because it doesn't address a lot of the anterior stretches to the hip flexors and so forth. So there's one big issue. Also, stretching for the sake of stretching is not necessarily good. If you stretch a lengthened muscle that's already lengthened, then you actually create greater dysfunction and weakness in that muscle. So you only should stretch what is short and tight. To bring it back to normal length. Right. So overstretching in those muscles that are already lengthened is actually doing a disservice.
So real quick before we end the show, what kind of DVDs can people find on your website?
We've got a past few seminars that we do. Basically, we record the seminars. We've only just started doing that out of request. So I'd rather people come to the seminars live and actually see what's going on because they can ask you questions. But then a lot of people have problems traveling. So we have a number of DVDs from the seminars, one on corrective integration, which went through some corrective protocol exercises to do before training. We have a workshop we did on Olympic lifting, which is just a 2-hour DVD. Most of the DVDs are 8 hours, 7 or 8 hours in length.
Right.
And then the recent one we had is the core integration DVD, which we looked at, you know, abdominal core function, and there was 7.5 hours of DVD there.
Cool. Okay. So go to afperformancecenter.com and check it out. Now you're not. Are you going to the Olympia?
Actually, I'm having a little honeymoon this weekend in New York with my wife.
Good for you. Finally, okay, great, great. I'm glad.
Just a 3-day honeymoon day.
Good, good.
10 days to 3 days.
Enjoy yourself, and then tell her I said hello. And of course, it's always wonderful to have you on the show, and we'll have you back on soon. If you have questions for Dr. Rouse and you want them answered, what's the best way for them to send them directly to you, Peter?
I keep an eye on your Facebook page, so if they want to post them up on your Facebook,
okay,
page,
there you go.
Some other people can have some options there. So if they post them up there, I'll see them.
Okay, post them on my Facebook page. Just search for Carl Lenore on Facebook. And also, if you're going to the Olympia and you want to meet me, why you'd want to meet me, I have no idea. But if you do want to meet me, go to Twitter and go to my Twitter page, which is twitter.com/triceptor, T-R-I-C-E-P-T-O-R. Sign up for Twitter, and I will be posting what booths I'm at what time at the expo. So if you want to come over and say hello, I'm going to bring some T-shirts with me and perhaps give some away at different booths. So check me out there. Peter, thanks a lot for being on the show today.
That's right. I heard some people want your autograph as well.
I know. Did you hear that? That's pretty funny. That's scary. I think he was just joking. I can't imagine anybody wants my autograph. Trust me on that one. We'll see everybody tomorrow. We got an amazing show tomorrow. We're going to be breaking some news with Dr. Scott Connolly. You may think you know what we're going to talk about, but it's not anything you've heard before. So you won't want to miss Wednesday's show. See you then.